What's up, everybody? Welcome to PSI Love You XOXO episode 37. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye
Junior. That's right. It's me, Greg. How's it going?
It's been a pretty boring day here in PlayStation Land.
No news.
You know, I wish there was anything to talk about. I wish something had happened there. No, I'm kidding, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, this is our post-show to the PlayStation 5 showcase, giving you the release date and all the rundown of launch lineup games and launch window games and even 2021 late launch window games. I guess you want to call the window that window.
What are you saying?
Which means...
he's having a stroke.
Come off. What I was basically doing, though, is doing what I always do when I forget that Andy's going to be on a show with me that he's not normally on, where I have to spin my tires while I open up a document so I can go. Also joining PSI Love You XOXO this week is the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas Treat Latino Heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globe-trotting headshot nitro rifle from Twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Pleasure to be here with you all. What a fantastic, exciting afternoon. And I'm just exhausted already, dude.
We have so much more to do and talk about, though. You got to get your stamina up. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I've been whipping this Blessing into shape for a while now. You know what I mean? Because when we started, these two-hour PSI Love Yous were killing him. Now, if I wanted to, he could do push-ups on that bed this entire time and
he's
be podcasting.
So in shape.
I really could.
And rounding out our quartet of PlayStation fanatics, he, of course, is the Forbes 30 Under 30 winner, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the engaged one at Tim Geddes.
Let's him host. I do not hear that PlayStation I Love You XOXO theme song enough. What a absolute banger. We just watched an amazing conference with so many highs, and somehow I'm even higher than I was right now talking to you guys, and I'm very excited about all of this. So much to break down. Let's get right to it.
Let's get to it right now. Before I give you any of the housekeeping, any of the rigmarole, of course, like I said earlier, this is a different kind of PSI Love You XOXO. This is happening right after the PlayStation 5 showcase, meaning that there's a lot of breaking news, a lot of Twitter chatter, a lot of blog posts going up. We are going through it. So inevitably, when we say something wrong at the start of this, give us till the end of the show to correct ourselves before you write your mean YouTube comment.
Remember, the fact that right now, popping off, Greg, nanobiologist who I trust in the chat is saying that Demon's Souls is a launch game.
What?
That can't.
Find that for me while I tell you this is PS I Love You XOXO. Each and every week, Blessing and I come together to nerd out about PlayStation and bullshit around with you. If you like that, look for the show on Tuesday. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and get it early. You could watch us record it as we record it. You could ask questions. You could get it with the exclusive post show we do each and every week. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can get it on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe, usually each and every Tuesday morning. Be like our Patreon producers, Mohammed, a.k.a. Momo, gethealthywithhiram @gmail.com, Tom Bach, Skin Tight Salmon, Jeffrey, beep, 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 pee, long, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, Sancho West Gaming, James Hastings. Our sponsor this week is Upstart and Marvel's Avengers, but we'll get to that later. For now, let's start with topic of the show, which is the PlayStation 5 showcase that just happened. Tim, do you have clarification on this Demon's Souls for me?
I don't have clarification on Demon's Souls, but I do have that Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales will be a launch title.
I have, on 11/12 and 11/19 everywhere else. Yeah, it is going to be there.
And it'll also be on PlayStation 4.
Exactly. We're going to get to that part of it in a second. Right now, though, where I want to start is, what is everyone's synopsis of this, your review of this? Tim, let's start with you. The PlayStation 5 showcase here on September 16th, 2020, revealing the release date and price of the PlayStation 5. What are your thoughts?
I thought that that was as close to perfect as I could have ever imagined a conference to be, but some bewildering exceptions. All this information that is a fact right now, why wasn't that in there? It should have been extremely clear in what we just watched that Miles Morales is a launch title. We should know our pre-order information, and we definitely, if Demon's Souls is a launch title, should have known that. Some very bizarre choices with that, but otherwise, man, this isn't a competition. We're not talking about Xbox versus PlayStation here, at least I'm not. I'm talking about what PlayStation just showed me and how much they sold me even more, and I think that there's an argument to be made now, just like with the PlayStation Plus collection that they have there. I get people being like, well, I already own all those games. It's like, yeah, but there's a ton of people that don't. There's a ton of people that don't have a PlayStation 4.
Sure.
And now this is just even more incentive for them to go to PS5 this next time. But on top of that, Final Fantasy 16 exclusive, I would have never called that in a million years. I never thought they'd go back to that.
To insert right here, the breaking news about Demon's Souls as a launch title comes from none other than Jeff Keighley, who tweets, Demon's Souls is a launch title for PlayStation 5. To which Jeff. Austin Walker responds, of course, Austin Walker from Waypoint Vice Gaming, says, Jeff, why are you better at this than Sony? Which is true. I also saw our boy Imran Khan out there going, for an event that was supposed to answer every question, we sure have a shitload of questions.
Yeah, Jeff Keighley literally just tweeted 41 seconds ago. So you're probably wondering about pre-orders, which is making me think that, like, maybe he has pre-order information. Like, I don't know what PlayStation is doing that Jeff
Keighley... locked to Jeff Keighley and his Summer Game Fest as it continues to roll. I'm continuing. I imagine pre-order information is about to go up on the PlayStation blog, which is why I'm refreshing that. That seems like... not how I would have messaged prior information, but we will see. Blessing, what was your read here? What is your synopsis of the PlayStation 5?
I thought it was a really, really well put together presentation. Like, the pacing of it was great. The graphics, of course, like, it had all the same things that made that June presentation great. The games were awesome, like getting Final Fantasy 16 and having that be something that is getting me excited for as somebody who historically I'm not like a huge Final Fantasy person. Like, I know I've mentioned this on shows before, but I've tried to play like Final Fantasy 13. I couldn't get into it. Tried to play 14, couldn't get into it that much. And like Final Fantasy 7 Remake was the one this last year that got me to really be like, okay, this is now something special to me. To see the trailer for Final Fantasy 16 and to see it be something that gets me really excited and hyped, like, I that's awesome. And I think that's probably going to speak to so many other people who might have got into Final Fantasy VII Remake the same way and see this and go, oh, I recognize some of these elements. Oh, this story looks cool. This world looks cool. And now I'm integrated into the Final Fantasy ecosystem, if you will. Like, that's really cool. Harry Potter is really cool. Like, seeing the gameplay for Miles Morales is really cool. They had a lot of great stuff here. I'm with Tim, though, that there was some bewildering choices as far as, like, things that were left out. Like, where were the pre-orders? Why was it announced that Miles Morales was a launch title, if it is? Like, where was that? Some of those choices I feel are kind of weird. I wish we got more UI stuff. Like, I wish there was some sort of deep dive into, hey, this is what the menus look like. This is what your PlayStation experience is going to be as you dive into your system and get acquainted with it. Like, I feel like it's weird that's what was missing.
Oh, I don't. I think this one has to be such a high level. Hey, we're trying to appeal to everybody with a broad person. That's definitely stuff we care about on this nerdy ass show. But I think outside of that, that's why I think you just put that on a PlayStation blog. Don't get me wrong. I would have loved a full blown demo. They're sitting there talking and walking through it. I just think trophies and UI and all that will be relegated to the PlayStation blog.
Yeah, I kind of agree. When you get into that stuff, that's where the show really will slow down for a lot of people who have been getting hit left and right with awesome trailer after awesome trailer. Then if you do slow down the show and say, you know, hey guys, here's what the UI looks like, and with your friends list you could do blah blah blah, I think that's a different show. I think that's a different presentation, if it even is a presentation. Maybe it's just a YouTube video that goes.
I have more breaking information. Jeff Keighley has tweeted, per Sony, PlayStation 5 pre-orders will be available starting tomorrow at select retail.
Holy shit.
Oh wow.
So there you go. Be on the lookout for
that. Like, even without the UI stuff, which I think that stuff is going to end up being a PlayStation blog post, you know, or like a YouTube video or something. Mm. I personally, for the kind of gamer I am and the kind of gamer that I know exists out there, I feel like that stuff would be awesome to see as part of a presentation. Maybe not this presentation, because you're going for a very specific thing of game after game after game after game. But I feel like you should have a time and place for that. Like, it seems like I don't think PlayStation is going to make a time and place for that. As far as like a sit down, we're going to talk you through this stuff, we're going to talk about the nerdy stuff with you, that seems like it's going to be a PlayStation blog, which I don't necessarily prefer, but I get it. But yeah, I do wish they had more specification when it came down to pre-orders and different stuff like that. And then also with the PlayStation Plus collection, I think it's a cool thing for folks who didn't have a PS4 who are coming into the PS5 new, even though I don't know how big that audience is, though I know those those people exist. But overall, like, the way that was posed, it made it seem like it was going to be more of a Game Pass-ish kind of thing, and I wish it was, and it makes me lose hope that we're going to get more of a direct competitor to Game Pass, because like when I look at PlayStation Plus, I'm like, or PlayStation Plus Collection, I'm like, all right, how many of these games are available through PlayStation Plus already if I had that subscription and I downloaded these games?
A quick full timeout. Tim, I know you have something to chime in here. Andy, I still want your recap of this thing before we get into it. But if we're going to get into this PlayStation Plus collection, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen the entire thing, ladies and gentlemen, the PlayStation Plus collection was announced at the end. It's a new PlayStation 5 benefit. It's going to be PlayStation 4 games that'll be available at launch that you can download and play, basically, with your PlayStation Plus membership. This included God of War, Bloodborne, Monster Hunter, Final Fantasy 15, Fallout 4, Mortal Kombat, I forget which one, Uncharted 4. X it was okay.
Yeah.
Ratchet and Clank, Days Gone, Until Dawn, Detroit, Battlefield 1, Infamous Second Son, Batman Arkham Knight, The Last Guardian, The Last of Us Remastered, Persona 5, and Resident Evil 7. Again, these are the PlayStation 4 versions of these games that will be available to be downloaded and played when you get it, thanks to your PlayStation Plus subscription. So yeah, I need to go back and look at it. As we said too, there hasn't been a blog post up. I know the download part. Did it say stream to, or was it just download? Does anybody
just
remember?
Said download.
Thank
download.
You very much. And so to your point then, Blessing, that this isn't a direct competitor to Game Pass, but it kind of is trying to be. Tim, what did you have to say on that?
Well, I was just going to say, Bless, what did you expect from this, or what would you want Sony to do? Because would you ever expect them to put their exclusives day and date on a service like this? Because no
but
way.
I do want an expanding library, though. Like, I want them to combine PS Now with PS Plus and make that a cool thing, right? And make those games available to download. Like, that's pretty much the whole thing. I know PS Now, you can download games, but this as an offer, as something that is that... I don't want to keep saying that it's post against Game Pass, because I don't think they necessarily are trying to make it like a one-on-one comparison, but it being called PlayStation Plus collection makes it feel like it is being posed as that. And like, you know, in comparison, I like during the showcase you mentioned, like, you know, look at these games compared to what's on Game Pass. Game Pass has Xbox first party games coming out over the next few years. Game Pass has a great selection of indie games and third party games. And yeah, like PlayStation Plus collection has, you know, a good amount of games that, you know, if you miss them, sweet, get Ratchet and Clank, get Days Gone, get The Last Guardian. But if you're around for the PS4 generation, you probably already played these games, or you probably already made up your mind on if you want to play these games or not, or you probably already own them through PlayStation Plus. And so, like, if you're coming in new to PlayStation 5, that's a great deal for you if you want to get PlayStation Plus. But it doesn't strike me as something that's, like, exciting.
I want to be clear that what I was saying is I'm comparing it to Game Pass right now. What the games that are currently on Game Pass right now, not what's going to be, compared to what they just offered. It's like, when we're talking about the quality of those games, it's like, that's an insane collection. And like, going back to the PlayStation Vita instant game collection thing, it's just like that. It's just I don't think that this is going to sell anybody like specifically on a PlayStation 5, but I do think it's going to push a lot of people over that are trying to question, especially like Xbox people that are like, I didn't have a PlayStation 4, so these games being free on PS Plus before didn't mean anything to me. It's like, that's just, this is just such a great bonus of just like, they're there. Like,
yeah,
many games.
It's the idea that this is just sort of a little bonus, right? Like, this hasn't been teased at any time in the past, right? Like, no. We didn't know about
this. This is
the idea that this is just something that Sony's saying, here, have this as well. Like, we're just tacking this on to whatever you're going to be paying for PS Plus. I think it is pretty huge. I think the quality of games is super high in that list. And I mean, the collection, I think, will keep on growing. I don't think that's
it's going to keep on growing. It seems like this is it. Because the way they've phrased it and posted it is, hey, this is your way to play the best games on PS4 or from PS4, which makes you think that this, like, unless you're going to keep growing PS4 titles in that collection, it doesn't seem like it's going to be a PS5 thing.
Yeah, how long it sticks around, we don't know, right? Right now, I'm reading off Mike Minotti over at GamesBeat. PlayStation Plus collection brings PlayStation 4's biggest hits to PlayStation 5. PlayStation Plus collection gives PlayStation Plus subscribers access to a catalog of PlayStation 4 games that they can download to their PlayStation 5. This includes, and he goes on like this, it looks to be about a bit of a backwards compatibility solution. But yeah, we don't have anything yet, and I don't have any official press release from PlayStation talking about, hey, this is what this is and why it matters right now. Andy, what was your overall read before we get any more into the weeds?
I thought it was a fantastic show. It was just it was hit after hit. When we got towards the end, I do feel like, you know, obviously they're ending with Fortnite and you're wondering what can they end with. It sort of reminds me of during Microsoft's conference where we're wondering, all right, well, if they showed this, what's going to be at the end?
Sure.
I probably would have, I don't know, I think ending on God of War is such a huge note. Like, you don't obviously need to show gameplay. You just need to tease it and get people excited. I think that's huge. But the idea that it was just fucking banger after banger. I mean, like, Harry Potter, like Kevin nailed it, where at the end Kevin goes, holy fuck, I forgot they showed Harry Potter. Like that game's going to be massive. And it's just such an easy thing to kind of forget because everything else that followed it was also awesome and huge and hype. And yeah, I think, I mean, I was just so entertained the whole damn way. Great show, dude.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome as well. I think they opened so incredibly strong. You know what I mean? To have Final Fantasy 16, then into Miles Morales, gives the first look at that demo, which fucking sang, and we'll get to in a little bit, I know. And then right into Harry Potter, which is another big announcement, right? Then, I mean, think I, you know, personally, I would have said that, you know, Black Ops Cold War was a dip, but it's still, even though it's not a game I'm going to play, it looked fucking rad. We were all freaking out. That looked like the Fast and the Furious, right? That part where they're chasing.
That's what Crossroads should have been.
Yeah, exactly, right? And the kills were cool.
Yeah, the idea that that's like one of the low points, you know?
Yeah, right. And yeah, that's the thing is you just have this, I don't even want to say middling period, you just have a period where you get into more specialized tastes where games aren't going to be for everybody, but they still look impressive or have a cool stuff attached to them. So then, yeah, come out of it with Fortnite, PlayStation Collection, and then into it. So, yeah, I thought it was good. You know, the last question I asked before it went live was, you know, are we going to be disappointed? And I'm not disappointed with this. This is a great showing. I think as we're going to talk about here in a second, as we go through the recap of it, fucking weird that Jeff Keighley's telling you Demon's Souls is a launch title. Weird that Jeff's telling, I mean, shout out to Jeff, but weird that like PlayStation didn't have that or the pre-order information in there. And how much longer are we waiting for that? Right now, hold on, what's that? Now, Jeff Keighley is also saying, so he has his per Sony PlayStation 5 pre-orders, yeah, like that, will be available starting tomorrow at select retailers. Note, I'm hearing some retailers may make inventory available today as well. Stay tuned. So that's Keighley right there talking about that. As we continue to monitor and watch that situation, again, this show will grind to a halt if we have to pre-order our things right now. Yeah, okay, now PlayStation has responded to its own thread here, going PS5 pre-orders will be available starting as early as tomorrow at select retailers. So stay tuned. Does that mean 12:01? Does that mean 12:01 in your time zone? Does that mean 9 o'clock here on the West Coast? Does that mean 10 a.m. tomorrow morning? Hopefully someone will know at some point so you know when you can buy the goddamn thing. I digress. Let's recap from the top and we can discuss as we go, right? The event starts and it's Final Fantasy 16. It talks about Shiva coming, Creative Business Unit 3, some guy named Joshua, and it's a PlayStation console exclusive. Tim, you're a huge Final Fantasy fan. What did all this do for you?
I mean, look, right before this started, I was like, if Final Fantasy 16 is announced, I hope it's not this like fantasy based stuff. And that's exactly what it was. This seems to be in the Final Fantasy 14 world, or at least a very similar world. I'm not that well versed in that stuff. This looks really rad. And I think the most important thing is that it's exclusive. Like that is such a huge, crazy thing when you look at this conference as a whole, where it wasn't just third-party exclusives and first-party exclusives and just third-party big announcements like Harry Potter. It was a little bit of everything. And I think starting with Final Fantasy, specifically a core Final Fantasy title, being exclusive and it's not Final Fantasy VII Remake, like the fact that that isn't pure exclusive to PlayStation, or at least it won't be at some point, but this is so shocking to me. I think it looked a little rough graphically and it seems kind of early. I didn't think that was necessarily this is next gen showcase title. And I think that's really evidenced by seeing Demon's Souls at the end of this being such a similar kind of, you know, Knights of the Round Table type vibe to it. But man, Final Fantasy 16 is real. Like the drought of not getting a core Final Fantasy title announcement, the longest drought we've ever had is finally over. And
the national nightmare.
Exactly. And story-wise, there was a lot of really interesting things that they were talking about there. It seems like the characters are linked to the different summons. And that seems cool. Seeing the logo, it looks like Valfor fighting Ifrit. I'm like, that could be a really fucking cool story mechanic that can obviously translate into some amazing gameplay moments. Because the combat looked fun. It definitely looked like a kind of culmination of everything that they've learned from the other Final Fantasy games in the last decade, in a way that Final Fantasy VII Remake already kind of did, but in the way that VII Remake melded it with the original Final Fantasy VII turn-based style, this looks like it's taking what they learned from 15 and the others and really just being like, cool, here's the next version of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm stoked about that, dude, because again, I am not traditionally a Final Fantasy fan. I was never into a lot of turn-based games growing up, except for Pokemon. But the like when 15 came out and showcased this sort of this real-time combat, it's flashy, it's over the top, it's super sick. And then 7 Remake came out. I loved that. I am so in on this. I don't know a damn thing. Like, Tim, you could look at me in the eyes right now. Look at me in the eyes. Tell me who Ifrit is. I don't fucking know, dude. But I'm going to play this.
Fire guy.
He's a fireman.
He's the first summon.
He beatboxing.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah, he's the big old fireman. But it, like, I don't give a fuck. I'm just gonna play this game because it's. I thought it looked gorgeous. I thought the combat looked really fun and flashy, and all the sort of teleportation stuff that I really dug with homeboy with the black hair in 15. One of the hot dudes. I forgot his name. It's really exciting, and I'm super stoked. I think I kind of agree with you, Tim, where visually it still looked like a current gen game. It still kind of looked like a really, really high-end PS4, Xbox One X title. But I think when I still think of improvements, you know, I'm sure we'll see load time improvements. We'll see all sorts of things that are happening in the back end that aren't the sexy stats, but the ones that really add to the gameplay experience. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, this game, the trailer kind of spoke to me from like a basic bitch perspective, because
why did it speak to you? Because you were talking about, like, you were freaking out for it and saying you can't believe that you're into it. Is it just based on the experience you had with 7 the remake?
It's half based on the experience that I had with 7 remake, and half of it honestly is like I just liked everything I saw and heard from the trailer. Like visually, it was just very stunning. What they were doing tonally there, like, really spoke to me. And like, I know historically I'm not necessarily a big fantasy person. Like, when it comes to hard fantasy, like, I'm not a Lord of the Rings kind of person, but the stuff that they've done with Final Fantasy, I mean, I don't know if I could be. I do like that stuff in certain instances, right? Like, Harry Potter, I really like. Legend of Zelda, I really like. Final Fantasy VII, you know, I've really liked. And I think the way in which Final Fantasy tackles fantasy speaks more so to me than like traditional fantasy.
Or edgy.
That makes sense. Yeah, like, I like the edginess of it. Yeah. I like the animeness of it. Like, all that speaks to me. And tonally, visually, everything in this trailer spoke to me on like a basic bitch. Like, I'm enjoying everything I'm seeing, even though I'm not necessarily I'm not getting all the meat of the experience yet, but we'll see.
I thought the combat looked great. And I mean, that's coming off 7 really selling me on it. I thought the world looked cool. It looked, you know, gothic-y and like dark kind of thing. And you're finding all these things. The summons looked nice. Yeah, it looked cool. I'm not like jonesing to play it the way you are, Bless, but I think that speaks to what the impact that Final Fantasy VII Remake had in terms of attracting new fans and maybe even fans of old stuff, right? Up next was Spider-Man Miles Morales, and holy fucking shit. What a fucking demo, right?
Greg, come on. Remember years ago, I think it was the first E3 that we covered is kind of funny, where we did live reactions to E3. That's not right. It was the first one in the studio.
But so not the one where we down in GameSpot's war room, the one where we stayed home and did it. Yeah.
You know what? I take all of this back. It was the first time we live reacted on camera, and it was in the first studio. But
in
when we first
bedroom.
Saw
got it.
Yeah, spare bedroom. We saw Spider-Man and we saw gameplay, and all of us were like, oh man, can't wait till we actually see gameplay though. Because we didn't believe it. We didn't believe when he was breaking through that like restaurant doing the spin thing and like parkouring over the different desks and stuff. We're like, oh, no way. And then now we've played the game. That's what it was. You know, it was a lot of it like quick time action and stuff. Sure. But it felt so fluid. It felt good. The combat was so fun. They just ratcheted that up to 11. We just saw a gameplay demo here where I was just like, I can't believe this is real gameplay. And it happened again for a game that I platinumed. I know that game so well. And somehow this is so fresh, this is so new, the music is so fucking perfect.
That was
insane. They got Genki in there, the story beats. I'm liking everything that I'm seeing so far from this game, with the exception of not the biggest fan of this semi-generic here's the red people and here are the purple people. Now it's going to look real pretty, there's going to be a lot of nice ray tracing stuff, but I get that they're like trying to somewhat emulate the Spider-Verse look, but not fully do it. I kind of wish they would have just fully done it if they were
just leaned all
this.
The way in.
I'm super stoked about the music, because obviously, like, when the chat beats come in, it sounds great. But I'm wondering, you know, when you first play Spider-Man on PS4, and you start playing it enough to where you realize, oh, every time I jump off, the music swells. Is the music going to keep on dynamically sort of affecting your experience when the fight starts? If it's going to be a longer fight, do the beats start coming in? Like, I'm just thinking about all the cool sort of programming stuff having behind the scenes that can really amplify the experience, man.
Yeah, for me, like, my reaction to it was kind of a little bit the opposite of Tim's, but like on a different side of it, of seeing the gameplay, I was like, yeah, this looks like Spider-Man. Like, this looks like what I played in 2018. But it was more so just a reminder of, one, that game played incredible and that game was awesome. But then, two, the way that they're adding a different style to it with Miles Morales and with the soundtrack and with just like the overall tone and vibe of what's going on in that gameplay trailer. Like, that spoke to me on a level that I didn't necessarily expect. Like, I love Spider-Man. You know, I love Miles Morales. I loved Into the Spider-Verse. And even going into this, part of me was like, oh, what if they went full Into the Spider-Verse? And then I was like, well, they're not going to do that because they still have Spider-Man over here that they want to make sure the continuity is all clean or whatever for it. But, like, just the fact that watching this gameplay and hearing Miles speak and hearing him feel truly Miles Morales and fresh as Spider-Man in a way that didn't make me miss Peter Parker, I thought was truly impressive and incredible, because I love Peter Parker. I love the humor of that character. I love the witty banter that he has. But yeah, Miles Morales totally sold me and got me excited for this game.
Yeah, I thought this looked fantastic. Obviously, everything you guys have just said, colorful, beautiful. I think, Tim, you nail it, right? Where the first time around, when the Spider-Man footage dropped and everybody was originally like, oh, quick time events. And then to know what that feels like, to see, especially when he was up in the air at one point, he's like, oh no, the bus. And it was R1, trying to web the bus to it, then to get in there. Like, I felt that energy, even not having a controller, not being the person playing it. As we said, a little bit top level stuff, right? Like, demo started with or the gameplay presentation started with, right, Miles coming back home, going in, coming out with Genki, and then walking into basically a Christmas fair kind of thing going on. It's obviously set at Christmas time. His mother, Rio, running for office, it appears. Roxxon gonna have a big part on of this. They seem to have moved into the neighborhood, and they are at odds with the Underground, a group that is rising up and being led by the Tinkerer, of course, classically played by Kevin Coelho in Lego Marvel Superheroes.
Great job, Kevin. Great job.
Great job, Kevin.
It seems like Kevin was so great at that role. The Tinker is actually going to be played as a woman in this one. So that's great. So there you exactly. Yeah. You gave the definitive male performance. Now we need to see if somebody can step up.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of worried, Tim or Greg, because you know, you play Avengers and it's like, oh, these aren't the Avengers that I know. Exactly. And with here, it's like the Tinker I know is Kevin Coelho. So I hope that works.
You know? Timothy Geddes, you had a question there?
Quick little breaking news thing. This comes from the Japanese PlayStation blog. Horizon Forbidden West also coming to PlayStation 4.
What? Really?
That's next what they're year? Saying here. They're saying in parallel, and this is translated. But furthermore, in order to continue to support the huge community of PlayStation 4 during the transition period of generations, we're working on the PS4 version of some SIE Worldwide Studios titles in parallel. Marvel Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Something Big Adventure. Oh, it must be
Sackboy's
Big Adventure. And the translation was just a bunch of shit. And Horizon Forbidden West are made by taking advantage of the performance of PS5's ultra-high-speed SSD and DualSense controller, but we're preparing to enjoy it on PS4 when the PS5 version is released. At the same time, PS4 version will be released. If you purchase the PS4 version of these titles, you can upgrade to PS5 with a disc drive for free.
So, also coming out of PlayStation Japan, they have a list of launch titles. I'm reading this from Nibel on Twitter. They have listed Demon's Souls, Destruction All-Stars, Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Sackboy, and Astro's Playroom.
The English version is up on the English blog now that Tim just read from. There's a couple of, there's something else interesting I just saw that I want to talk about.
The DualSense is $70.
Well, before even that, right? These newly revealed titles, along with games we've previously shown, represent the best lineup we've ever seen in PlayStation history. Games like Marvel Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Call of Duty Black Ops, Cold War, and Demon's Souls will launch alongside the console. Our own Worldwide Studios titles will be priced from $49.99 to $69.99 on PS5. Of course, Spider-Man Miles Morales Ultimate Edition that includes Spider-Man PS4 is already, we know it, $69.99. Then we went through the thing you were just talking about with that. And then, yeah, then we get into the prices here now. I'm just going to read this blind. It might be old information. For PlayStation Plus members, we have a special new offering from PS5 the PlayStation Plus collection. PS5 owners with PlayStation Plus will be able to download and play a curated list of PlayStation 4 titles that define the generation. They list the same one. We go on there. The PlayStation Plus collection will be an added benefit while existing to the existing PlayStation 4 benefits that Plus members know. So nothing new there. And then, yes, they have now the slate of accessories. DualSense wireless controllers will be $69.99. The Pulse 3D wireless headset with 3D audio support and dual noise canceling will be $99.99. The HD camera with dual 1080p lenses for gamers to broadcast themselves along with their epic gameplay moments will be $59.99. The media remote to navigate your movies and streaming stuff will be $29.99. And then the DualSense charging station to conveniently charge two DualSense at once will be $29.99. You immediately went, damn, how do you feel about a $70 controller?
I mean, it's just a bummer. Like, it's the reality. I get it's where we're at, but that is just that's a high price, especially when DualShock 4s, of which we have so many, aren't compatible with that system. But especially it is what it is.
Wage been the same price for the last like fucking 90 years. Let's get that minimum wage up. You know what I mean? Blessing, come on, baby.
Dude, that's what I'm saying, man. Pay me, Greg.
No, you make more than minimum wage. Don't start that rumor. I don't need a fucking Reddit thread about this.
The other side of that, though, Greg, can you read the headset bit again?
Sure. Pulse 3D wireless headset with 3D audio support and dual noise canceling microphones, $99.99.
That to me is interesting in the opposite way, where I'm surprised it doesn't cost more. And I'm a little bit worried that either it's great and it's a great deal, or it just means that it's not going to be up to snuff of the quality of headset that I was hoping it would be with how much they're putting into 3D audio. Yeah. Like, that's the type of stuff that to me is such a like top level experience that I'd rather top level version, instead of it being like, we're going to, you know, mainstreamize this, because I'm trying to get back to what the current Platinum headset is, and I'm pretty sure that one was $150. And that's a nice headset.
That much, really?
I think so, unless I'm wrong.
So real quick, before I just want to toss this out there too, they have here on the PlayStation blog, PlayStation 5 launch day games from SIE Worldwide Studios: Astro's Playroom, which is pre-installed on your PS5, Demon's Souls is going to retail for $69.99, Destruction All-Stars $69.99. Wow. Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales, it's a standalone version, $49.99. Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales Ultimate Edition, $69.99. Sackboy A Big Adventure, $59.99.
Holy shit. It's
happening. You got it. It's happening.
We're there.
Yeah, $70 for the big games.
For next gen.
Damn,
games.
Son.
I do I do like the range though, because that's something I was expecting Sackboy to be a full price game. And like, it seems that there's gonna be a little bit more wiggle room between games, with Spider-Man Miles Morales being $50, Sackboy being $60, and then like the big high-end games being $70. I wonder if we see more of that, or if we just see like every big AAA just be $70 going forward.
Well, I mean, to me, it doesn't sound like there's much of a range. It sounds like 50 is the new 40, 70 is the new 60.
True. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. But back to this is how the show will go, by the way, as news continues to break, but we react to the things we watched and then have to react to this too.
We got
to
talk about the PS4 games. Like the big exclusives coming out on PS4 also.
Sure. I mean, we're in the Miles Morales thing. Do you want to talk about it here? I don't know. I mean, because it's one of this is one of the games, right? You can play Miles Morales on PS4.
I kind of expected it from Miles Morales, because I've always had the theory that Miles Morales was originally supposed to be a PS4 game, but then got shifted to PS5. So this doesn't surprise me for that. Horizon Forbidden West is the one that surprises me more. Like, that is shocking.
100%. 100%.
Especially because we got to assume the release date is so much further off than what, but you don't think so, Tim? You think the game's coming out a lot sooner than we think?
At this point, I don't think so anymore at all. I think that this is a sign that we're getting Horizon pretty early. I think even right before we recorded this, we were like kind of talking about where we think Horizon's gonna fit, and like we were talking about spring, like that May June area. And hold on, I'm trying to find a tweet from Imran. These things are so fun when it's all live and we're all just kind of like bopping around.
While you look around, let me read a little bit about what. Okay.
We're having fun. We're going to get in the Nug Dome later. It's going to be a blast.
Nug Dome!
Great. Imran tweeted, regarding God of War, I've been hearing for a long time while the PS5's first year is going to be that the PS5's first year is going to be comparable to the Switch's 2017 in terms of pushing hard on big software. Obviously, COVID complicates those plans, but it looks like they're still going full steam ahead on them. And when we look at that, it's like, can you guys imagine if they did hit God of War in 2021? Like, let's imagine that's closer to the, I don't know, August or something.
Oh,
there.
Fall, right? Yeah,
but fall. But we're like leading into that, and you do have the launch titles of Miles Morales and Demon's Souls. Then you move into there. We got Ratchet and Clank, Horizon. You know, keep moving on wherever Gran Turismo is. All that stuff in the first half. Like, that's utterly insane. And you know, the Horizon being on PS4, I think it's earlier. I think that's earlier up.
That's insane to me. That's so insane to me.
I was thinking Horizon Fall, and now that we have the God of War announcement, I'm like, dude, that has to be spring now, which is crazy.
I would, that's an exclusive that I would have never assumed, because I just, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, Horizon Forbidden West, this is them pulling out all the stops tech wise when it comes to like draw distance and the environments and, you know, just everything visually. This is going to absolutely be what you need, or what you use to show off your PS5, right, at full power. I'm kind of blown away by that. I wonder, did they mention that's being held or worked on internally, or if that's sort of like a third-party studio working on a port of it?
Like, sorry, which one?
Of the game themselves?
For no,
I mean, we're getting a translation image, I think, right now.
But right, they said developed in parallel, which that doesn't necessarily mean it's the same people, but
sure.
I'd be blown away if it was the same team, if they had like all one giant studio working on a port and a PS5 version, because that's a lot of work, man.
Seems like it's going to be more scalable, right? Like, it's going to be almost like, I mean, we've been talking about with Xbox specifically, but it seems like it's translating on the PlayStation side that, yeah, they're adopting more of a PC kind of model where, hey, yeah, we'll develop this so that it can be scalable up, right? And we'll implement the features that will be exclusive for PS5, like ray tracing and stuff. But
this overall, seems like it just seems like a cross-gen game. This is like a scalable down, though, situation.
Wasn't that, like, so? That's PC, right? Like, and I'm being a complete moron here, but like PC games have to run that way, right? At low res or super high, crazy res.
Yeah, I guess with every game that we've been assuming that's going to be coming out for PS4, we'd been talking about, oh, that'll scale up to PS5. You could just enhance the graphics and stuff. But with this one, it's the first one that we've talked about saying, oh, they're going to have to scale back this really, really massive game that.
Yeah.
It just didn't seem. Who knows what's been said behind closed doors? We have no fucking idea. But the idea that this game seemed like it was only going to be next gen PS5. We believe in generations. We're Sony. And also it's coming on PS4, and we got to lower out. We got to lower down the LODs and lower down.
Like, that's the thing that gets me, though. And it kind of turns our conversation of like, what do we mean like scalable? Like, are they scaling back or are they scaling forward? Like, it all is kind of semantics at a certain point. But like, when you go back to that Mark Cerny talk where he's talking about how we believe in generations and X, Y, and Z. When I think about what I thought Horizon was going to be and the way they were talking about their next gen games, I was thinking about how Mark Cerny was talking about how open worlds are going to change because of next gen. Like, the way you design levels is going to change because things are going to be more open. Like, the way in which you like go about solving certain problems that you have in development are going to change when you have something that is designed exclusively for a console that has an SSD and all these features. Like,
yeah,
they can't do that.
Less restraint, yeah.
Like, they can't do that with Horizon Forbidden West, right? Like, Horizon Forbidden West, I'm sure will take some advantages when it comes to graphics and stuff like that. But like, you know, I don't know if that game can truly, in terms of like the core design around it, can truly take advantage of what the SSD can do. Like, we might have to wait for a God of War or something from 2022 maybe before we see that fully realized.
I think that's true, and I think that at the end of the day, they don't care, and they've just been putting all this stuff out as marketing mumbo jumbo just to like build hype, and the PlayStation knows it's about the games for them, so they're just going to push the games. All this talk of like, we believe in generations, it's like, all right, do you? Or is that just like a cool thing to say at the time because you weren't ready to show off the games that actually do that? And I think that's kind of shining through here. At the end of the day, doesn't really matter. They're still bringing the games in a way that I never would have expected them to go this hard, this early. But it is kind of a bummer to see these games also be on PlayStation 4. But especially in a COVID time, I get it. Why would
do you think it's kind of a bummer in the way that you think it's gonna, as Blessing was talking about in the Cerny presentation, all that, you think it's gonna hamper features, or just because you wish it was pushing people more towards the next generation thing? Or do you think that having to make your PlayStation 5 game run on a PlayStation 4 is inevitably gonna run into, well, the game could have been better?
I'm honestly not too concerned about that based on everything we've seen so far with like Xbox One X and PS4 Pro and how that conversation went versus how the games actually play. Especially if we're seeing Horizon kind of come out as soon as it's going to be here. I just think that it obviously would be more exciting for, hey, here's these exclusive games built for the ground up only for next gen. And we're going to start getting that eventually, but I'm surprised we're not getting it like now. You know, this year, I get it. It's a wash. Launch, that's totally fine. Miles Morales, totally makes sense for what it is. Spider-Man 2, I want that to be PS5 exclusive, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want them to design it in mind with you know, the current gen.
Yeah, of course. I understand. And we'll see what that actually equates out to be. IGN.com has put up a link on Twitter, I should say. Twitter.com/IGN. You can click on there. It's taking you to a landing page for the PlayStation 5 on Amazon that, at least for now, you could probably bookmark and be ready to go and get in there or refresh it, or at least know something's happening over there. Speaking of all this cross-gen stuff, though, I would like to read from the actual PlayStation blog, right? In the middle of our Miles Morales thing, this is what's written up about it. We're also excited today to reveal that Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales will be arriving on both PS5 and PS4. Yes, that's right. We know some of you may transition to PS5 at different times, which is why it was important to us to release the latest title in the Marvel Spider-Man universe on both consoles. The standard edition will be available digitally on the PlayStation Store or physically at your local retailer for $49.99. Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales also supports a next-gen upgrade path. So, even if you aren't ready to upgrade to PS5 just yet, there's nothing stopping you from buying a PS4 version and enjoying the game alongside everyone else at launch. While it doesn't have the enhancements made possible by the console in the PlayStation 5 version, the game still looks beautiful on PS4 and PS4 Pro, and you can rest easy that when you do make the jump to PS5, the game comes with you. But that's not all. We have one more surprise for you. On PS5, we are announcing the Ultimate Edition that includes a voucher code for Marvel's Spider-Man Remastered. You'll be able to experience the complete storyline up until this point, which includes the remaster of the original game and all three installments of the Spider-Man or of the Marvel's Spider-Man, The City That Never Sleeps DLC, so you can play the full narrative arc. The remaster for the PlayStation 5 is no simple up-res, as many of the game's art assets have been completely updated to take advantage of the PS5 console's horsepower. You'll see better-looking characters with improved skin, eyes, hair, and facial animation, including our new next-generation Peter Parker. You'll also see ray-traced reflections and ambient shadows, improved lighting, more pedestrians and vehicles stretching further into the distance, and the same optional performance mode offered on Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales, allowing you to finally play the game at a targeted 60 frames per second, or frame rate. We'll be supporting near-instant loading, 3D audio, and DualSense controllers' haptic feedback. Lastly, we're adding three amazing new Spider-Man suits, new photo mode features, and even new trophies for those of you looking to platinum the game all over again. The Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales Ultimate Edition will launch both physically and digitally on PlayStation Store for $69.99 on launch day. And then they tweeted, Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales will be launching on 11/12 US and 11/19 everywhere else on PS5. And guess what? We're releasing the game on PlayStation 4 as well. And then in response to all that, TMDBN_8 said, if I buy it for PS4, do I have to pay for an upgrade or is it free? If it's free, then can I play it on my PS4? Can I play it on my PS4 launch day? If not, then I'll just wait till I get a PS5. And Insomniac responds, yes, you are able to upgrade. If you buy the disc version on PS4, though, make sure you get a PS5 with a disc drive, smiley emoji.
Wait, what?
So they didn't answer, right, that if it's a paid upgrade, but the way they answer to me makes it sound like it's going to be free.
It sounds like backwards compatibility, right?
But that's weird.
So well, to me, it makes me sound like if you have the disc and you put in the disc, it would be
the digital version, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think it would read your disc right and have to do it that way. Again, but, we'll see.
So why sure maybe. Why wouldn't you just buy that?
I don't know. Maybe, and well, again, they don't
the other way around.
The question of if it's going the thing, right?
Because if I buy the PS5 version, it wouldn't work on my PS4. Which yeah, I guess
I know, but
is,
if the PS4 version is cheaper than the PS5 version, if you buy the PS4 version on a disc and you get the PS5 version for free, you're saving money.
Right?
I mean, I've been asking this question all year.
I'm about to have an aneurysm, dude.
Wait, no, hold on. We are confusing you. You're talking about this kid's saying if I buy the PS4 version, will work on PlayStation 5 or is there an upgrade charge, right?
Mm-hmm. Greg, but bring out the whiteboard.
Yeah.
I know, I need it right now, right? So
because what Tim is saying, it makes sense. Like, you would just buy the PS4 version so you can have it work on both your consoles, right? Or get it cheaper.
Is the PlayStation 4 version cheaper?
That is an excellent question that I am assuming.
I don't think so. No, the standard edition is $49.99, and then the ultimate edition is $69.99.
There we go.
But even still, I guess it doesn't matter too much. And I don't want to dig ourselves into a hole. But even still,
the ultimate edition, I don't think it's coming to PS4, right? So probably. There we go. So I don't think so. I think that's where we're going. So I think we're out of it. Don't worry about it. We cleared it. We're done. Fine. Air's fine. I thought the demo looked awesome. I can't wait for that. I thought the music, as we've talked about in a roundabout way, the trap stuff that I would not be able to tell you was trap, was awesome. I think it had a different feel and tone. And I think that was the biggest, not concern, but it was this thing of, all right, cool. Is this fully going to be a Miles story, or is it going to feel like he's being dropped in as DLC to Peter's world? And from that glance, it looks like it's very much Miles's world, which is what absolutely. I want.
Seeing his neighborhood, seeing the Puerto Rican flag sort of like around his on his ladders and stuff like that, behind his building, walking out in his neighborhood, seeing his mom running for mayor, I guess.
So awesome. That's such a great call, such a cool thing to do with that character, and his friend Genki, like making his first appearance that I've seen outside of comics. That's very exciting to me. He's an awesome character. He's essentially Ned from the MCU movies, but It's that I was stoked to see that. But Greg, I totally agree with you that I love that we're getting our own tone with Miles, but I love versus Peter, but I love that this still feels like Insomniac Spider-Man world. And everything that I loved about that is still here when it comes 100%. To the way that, like Andy was talking about, the dynamic music, like that made the Spider-Man experience so iconic. And to see that given the Miles flavor, but still be there, especially like Andy, you talking about walking through his neighborhood. It's like, we're so used to the what New York looks like in the Insomniac Spider-Man to be on the ground level and be walking through and that there like be this like block party looking thing. It's like, yeah. I'm really excited to see how much of those kind of set piece moments they put on the ground floor.
People are salsa dancing.
Even him grabbing the bus and it said Harlem on it. Right. Like that's awesome. I don't know how much everybody's paying attention to the boroughs usually. Right. But like when you're, yeah, how many times have I fucking been around the financial district? You know what I mean? And I know Spider-Man on PS4 let us get around more, but I think the fact that they're trying to be like, no, this is Miles' new neighborhood, as they've talked about, right? Like, I want that to have a personality. I want missions around there. I want it to feel, even though it is still the same Insomniac Spider-Man, Marvel's New York, I want it to feel very specific to him. From there, the second game they showed was Hogwarts Legacy. This is the Harry Potter RPG we've heard so much about and from leaks, right? Late 1800s, coming in 2021, and the official press release reads like this. Warner Brothers Games today announced Hogwarts Legacy, an open-world, single-player, role-playing action role-playing video game set in the 1800s wizarding world. Players will experience life as a student at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry like never before as they live the unwritten and embark on a dangerous journey to uncover a hidden truth of the wizarding world. Developed by Avalanche and published by Warner Brothers Games under the Portkey Games label, Hogwarts Legacy will be released in 2021 for PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 4 Pro, Xbox Series X, Xbox Series S, Xbox One consoles, and PC.
Make that money. Make that money.
Do, yeah, do your thing.
This Hogwarts blew my mind.
I still have more information for you if you don't mind. Hogwarts Legacy is filled with immersive magic, putting players at the center of their adventure to become the witch or wizard they choose to be. They will grow their characters' abilities as they master powerful spells, hone combat skills, and select companions to help them face off against deadly enemies. Players will also encounter missions and scenarios that will pose difficult choices and determine what they stand for. As the climactic story begins, players grow their magical abilities by mastering spells, brewing potions, and taming fantastic beasts. Along the way, they will uncover an expansive world filled with perilous dangers tied to the wizarding world's long-forgotten past and an unusual ability that only they possess. The open-world journey takes players beyond Hogwarts to new and familiar wizarding world locations, including the Forbidden Forest and Hogsmeade Village.
Fuck yeah, dude. This shit leaked in October of 2018.
Wow. Man.
It has been so long since those first video clips leaked of your character creation, of your character kind of running through a little cave or whatever the hell he was in. This is kind of like a dream come true for every Harry Potter fan. Like, I'm not the hugest Harry Potter fan now, and I am absolutely excited for this game. You can create your player, the idea that you're going to have this cool journey and you meet NPCs around Hogwarts and you make friends, like all that stuff is just so damn appealing to me. I'm blown away by it.
I'm the same way. I reviewed a bunch of the Harry Potter games at IGN when we were still there, and even being a casual movie fan, I enjoyed the games. And so like this speaks to me in terms of going in there, making my own wizard, and then also having it be completely unanchored from what we already know, right? To go in there and have it and feel it out, that seems like something really cool for me. Blessing, Tim, does it do anything for you?
Oh yeah, I'm super excited for it. I've been excited for this since the leak and seeing the gameplay similar to Andy. The idea of a big old Harry Potter RPG, you know, like being able to create your wizard and all that stuff really speaks to me. I'm probably on the same similar level of fandom for Harry Potter as Andy, where I'm not like a super big Harry Potter fan, but I do love the movies. I watched all the movies and I really, really like them. And so I'm excited to dive back into that world.
Yeah, the idea of everybody being so obsessed with still to this day of what house do you come from?
Sure. Like, yeah, exactly.
Such a huge cultural part of a lot of people's lives, especially, I mean, I live with Alyssa and Barrett, and that, you know, every Christmas out come the little Christmas stockings of like, here's your house. And it's all about getting your sigil and everything. And I'm really excited for it. I think it's going to be really huge.
Yeah, that trailer looked fantastic. It's definitely not for me, but it looks like the type of game that I'm happy exists for the obvious crowd that is out there for it. I know that there's so much shit going on right now with J.K. Rowling, and that is so unfortunate for what this game looks like it can be and should be, because it is this looks wonderful. Like, this looks like it, the experience that Harry Potter fans would want to get out of a video game to just live and breathe in it. Like, can you imagine Cool Greg with this shit?
It's oh, insane. My God.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks rad. Kevin, you're the big Harry Potter fan. What'd you think?
Dude, I'm so excited. Like, I can't wait to, like, see what the actual game looks like and what you can do. This is one of those things that, like, I'd given up on this maybe like 6 or 8 months ago. It was just like, all right, people keep saying it's coming, but I'm not seeing anything for years now. So for it to be here just seemingly out of the blue, God, I'm so excited.
Kevin, I'm thinking about the idea of like going into the Forbidden Forest or just going out and finding things to craft and making your own potions, making it like crap, maybe, you know, creating your own spells or modifying stuff. Like, just the amount of RPG video gameness that can impact the Harry Potter world. Like, the possibilities are endless.
Romancing a hot young Dumbledore. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, man.
In the 1800s.
Yeah, in the 1800s. I don't know how old he is.
He's old.
He was like old, right? Okay, that makes sense. That works out.
Yeah, the math's there.
Wasn't he Jude Law? Wasn't Fantastic Beasts Jude Law?
Yeah, when did
Jude
Fantastic Beasts take place?
Yeah.
The 30s?
No, the early 1900s.
Well, there's a flashback that goes back even further.
Is Dumbledore still there?
He's a baby. No, he's a baby in a wizard hat.
His name was Dimbledore at that point. He hadn't gone through puberty yet.
Up next with Call of Duty, Black Ops, Cold War. Again, holiday 2020. The news here outside of it looking really cool and doing a Fast and Furious montage of trying to get on a giant plane and shooting people in the head and stabbing them in the fucking faces and their jaws turning to the side is that Friday, PlayStation 4 players are going to be able to get into the alpha. It'll run the 18th through the 20th. You can start preloading it on Thursday. Andy, you've done stuff with Call of Duty Black Ops, but even watching this Cold War trailer and demo, you were like, oh man, this isn't like what they showed before.
Yeah, I mean, it's not anything that we saw in our sort of sneak peek of the campaign, which I feel like that's usually the case. Whenever you go to E3, you see something, and then a behind this, you know, behind closed doors sort of presentation, and then when you eventually see a YouTube video or a stream come out, it's like, oh yeah, we saw all this. This is what we all experienced. I thought I was going to have a little bit of that today, but yeah, this is a brand new portion that they showed. And I mean, Call of Duty just kills it with these sort of big action set pieces that are, you know, insane and over the top. And it's exciting. Again, the Modern Warfare game, I feel like people just, it's so easy to sort of glance over these Call of Duty campaigns because they're whatever you get in there for the multiplayer. But it's a really fun 8 to 10 hour campaign that goes by super fast, and I expect nothing less with this one.
Then it was Resident Evil or Village, Resident Evil 8, just reconfirming that 2021 stuff, showing some stuff. Tim, you were surprised it was there. You said you didn't expect this.
I was surprised it was there. Surprised to see the "What are you buying?" guy back. That was kind of fun. I was surprised to see it just because I was surprised to see it, and I'm surprised to see the fact that it was here and having no like date, no new information. Seeing it, I was like, oh shit, this is early next year. And the fact that they didn't show that, I mean, with this fucking conference, maybe it is. Maybe it's a launch title. Who the hell knows? No, I guess not. But you get what I'm saying. Like, there's so much more information to come from a lot of this shit. But I thought this showing was way stronger than what we saw at the last event. And I love how different this looks for a Resident Evil title. Like, the weird kind of fairy tale looking flashback stuff reminded me a lot actually of Harry Potter, Andy.
Yeah, me and Kevin were like Deathly Hallows. That's a Deathly Hallows.
Exactly. Yeah. That's kind of cool. And I'm all about that for Resident Evil. I don't know about all the werewolves and all that stuff. And man, especially coming after the RE2 and 3 remake, it's weird to be going back to this type of, you know, the Ethan storyline and Mia and all that stuff.
I'm just thinking like Tim, like we're talking like the way we talk about JK Rowling, like, I don't know about these werewolves. They've got a troubled past. Like, I'm not trying to.
Yeah, we skipped over that with the Harry Potter thing. That was I felt the push and pull there of Twitter of so many Harry Potter fans being like, oh my God, this game looks amazing. Holy fucking shit, is it bad to be a Harry Potter fan? I think Bear put that out actually. They're just like, JK Rowling fucking sucks.
Yeah.
But it looked cool. I was definitely more into it than I was last time.
Okay, then next was Deathloop. We've talked a bit about this, right? But it was a more... We've seen this game a couple times. This is us actually getting to see more of a actual systematic gameplay of what's going on. Confirmed for Q2 2021. Still PlayStation 5 console exclusive. I pulled from the press release the synopsis that reads like this for what we saw. The new trailer takes players into the mind of our protagonist, Colt, as he seeks out two of the 8 key assassination targets keeping him imprisoned in the time-locked island of Black Reef. Arcane's signature gameplay presents players with numerous avenues for eliminating targets and for getting multiple targets into a single spot simultaneously by finding different clues and piecing together their own perfect puzzle of death before the day resets. I've been excited for this one since launch with the pulp grindhouse like trailer. Obviously, seeing more and more of it and having these two assassins going back and forth in this death loop seems cool. Hearing Colt explain it today got me even more excited for this, right? Because it is so Groundhog's Day. If he needs to kill these people, he can never get this one guy to go to the same party at Alexis's house, but it's because he made a scientific discovery in the morning. So if he can get to the guy in the morning, keep the discovery from happening, he can then have him go to the party and get him there. I thought that was a brilliant idea.
Dude, yeah, I really like the phrasing in the trailer they used of the loop is knowledge and knowledge is power. And that really speaks to me in the sense that, one, like Dishonored, the setup of Dishonored is very similar to the setup in this game as far as like the, hey, you have an assassination to do, you complete the assassination in this big level. Like it speaks to that game in that sense. During our live reaction, I mentioned how it seems like they're taking cues from Hitman also. And what I meant by that was the fact that Hitman 1, episodic game, right? And the reason it was episodic is because they wanted you to play each assassination over and over and over again and see the different ways in which you can do it and try to solve that puzzle in as many different ways as you can. And the way in which they emphasize the loop and like solving that puzzle and like pretty much every single time they've shown this game, it seems like they really do want you to sit down and replay levels and be creative and like learn the loops and learn the trails that all the different NPCs want you to take, or all the different NPCs are taking and that you can take in order to take them out. Like this speaks to me on pretty much every single level.
This is similar to me with Resident Evil 8, where we've seen it before, but man, this was by far my favorite showing of this. Like when they first debuted this game at the E3, whatever year it was, I was like, oh man, the tone of this looks awesome. The gameplay stuff they showed last time, I was like, that looks cool, but I don't know if it's for me. This, the gameplay mixed with the dialogue, mixed with the just the fun of it, it reminded me of Time Splitters mixed with some type of like high score challengey type gameplay that Blessing's talking about, where it is kind of do it over and over until you get the perfect run. But you're adding a story to that that includes time travel and assassination, the No More Heroes angle of this. Like, man, it's just that game is cool condensed into a video game. Like we say video games are cool. That's a perfect example of it.
And the arc that they're creating with the trailers too is really cool. With the second assassin that I keep forgetting about every trailer, but makes the appearance at the end, and it's like, hey, I'm still hunting you, bitch. Like every time she shows up, I'm like, oh snap, yeah. Why? I forget what is this game again? Like what's going on?
Because she was kind of showcased in the first trailer that they showed when they first debuted it. This game is a game that I don't need to see any more of. Like with today's, I already felt like this game is cool as shit. I get it, right? I don't really need to see any more of it. I feel like the first time it sort of knocked all our socks off because of the music, because of the visuals, the cool sort of cutaways, the color schemes, the whole vibe of the first trailer really blew me away. And every time since, it's just like, all right, I just kind of want to play it. Like I get what they're doing, and I don't want the excitement to get stale for me, you know?
Sure. Up next here in the rundown was Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition. Popping that, you're the one who called it out, Tim, that there's more enemies on screen, it looks like, on this. It looks like just an enhanced version of the game you played already.
Definitely. It looked like there was, like, it was hard to tell if there was new areas because there were so many enemies on screen kind of taking up the real estate of it all. But I had a tab open that is gone now, but we're looking at ray tracing and 120 frames per second for an action game. Imagine that is some butter. But yeah, very cool stuff. Very bizarre placement in this presentation. Like that is definitely a game that, you know, put a tweet out, Capcom. I don't know that we necessarily needed this, but I do feel like that must have been some back-end business deal of, all right, we'll have Resident Evil 8, but can you also show this? Which again, it happened so fast, and I feel like certain things like Fortnite and, you know, whatever coming up, it's like, yeah, they had to be here. Like we can't get mad at it.
You mentioning 120 frames gets me really curious about how the video and output settings are actually going to look, because with Xbox, you can make with Xbox One X, you can make your you can make the output 1080p or 1440p or 4K. And Sony only lets you do 1080 or 4K, no 1440p. So I'm wondering, like, are we going to see 120, you know, 120 hertz as an option? Are we going to see 1440p as an option?
You know, we have to.
I hope so.
We must. Like, I think that if there's anything, when we there has to be some type of parity between the consoles with the third party games and all that stuff, and with how much Xbox is tripling down on the 1440p, I think Sony's gonna understand that it has to put that, especially because they are pushing the ray tracing and high frame rate variable stuff, all that.
Just don't forget us, Sony. Us 1440p's are out there. There's dozens of us. Okay. We love the mid ground, right? We love the
mid-ground. Over on the PlayStation blog for Devil May Cry 5. Yeah, they're talking about ray tracing being tossed in there. The fact that you can prioritize 4K at 30 or 1080p at 60. As you already came up here, right? For players who prefer to allocate their horsepower to frame rates over graphics, PS5 can give console players the ability to play their games at frame rates up to 120 frames per second with a compatible display, of course, which is enabled for DMC5 SE. When players turn on high frame rate mode, the next generation upgrades aren't all visual though. In addition to the hotly anticipated fast loading mode capable by PS5's new hard drive, it's seriously crazy fast. The hardware now gives us the opportunity to provide even more immersive 3D audio. Just wait till you hear this. Wait till you get into a situation where you're surrounded by a bunch of hellbats. You'll come to pinpoint specifically where they are in relation to that. Devil May Cry also takes advantage of the DualSense new functionality. When you press L2 to rev up Nero's Xceed, you'll be able to feel the vibrations of the engine and the pull of the throttle, and thanks to the DualSense's upgraded haptic feedback, you'll feel it in your hands, the same sensation that Nero and Dante do as they wield DMC's trademark arsenal of weapons. We talked about the next gen stuff. What is the other stuff? We've added turbo mode, the ability to crank up Devil May Cry 5's gameplay to a 1.2x normal the speed. This mode has been a fan favorite.
Motherfuckers. Stop! That's crazy.
It's been a fan favorite ever since it was put into Devil May Cry 3 Special Edition.
That's awesome.
And then goes on there. Secondly, they're adding legendary Dark Knight difficulty encounter, you know, way harder and all this stuff. Last but certainly not least, Virgil. As soon as DMC 5 was announced back in 2018, the most consistent request we got from players was a playable Virgil. When my boss came to me last year and said, "Let's do this," I knew it was the first thing we'd have to do to make Virgil playable. So apparently he's going to be there. Playable in this one as well.
Not a surprise at all. I think the biggest bummer about this is it's not DMC6, like showing up in this conference for what this conference actually was. But yeah. This is going to be great. This is definitely a game for the fans, and they're going to love it.
From there, we saw Oddworld Soulstorm. Again, our friend Lauren Lanning popping up to talk about this game, show off all the bells and whistles for that. Anybody stoked for that one?
No, I've never been really good an Oddworld fan.
Yeah. I think it's going to be beneficial if that gets out early enough, because I don't have a release date in front of me on it, and I haven't seen it confirmed anywhere outside of what they say holiday last time.
Yeah, just Oddworld in general.
2020 is all they're saying right now.
Oddworld in general is just sort of one of those fandoms that just kind of surpassed me. Like I'm sure I would be had I picked it to rent back when I was a kid from the local All Hit Video or whatever, but yeah, it was never a game that I actually rented.
I've never actually met anybody who's been like a fan of Oddworld. Like, I feel like it's kind of like me and Jeff or Shem and I, where like, you know, there's tens of us.
They're out there.
Like, I'm sure Oddworld has a way bigger fan base.
They do have a fan base. Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure,
but
sure.
It's just like I've never met anybody who's like
all about
been
it.
Super into it and told me about it.
Kevin,
really?
Oh yeah, at least on the PlayStation.
No, version. I definitely do like it, but like not enough to be, you know, like excited for this. I mean, it looks a lot like the first one, which is the one that I've played a billion times. So that's cool.
Yeah.
From there, then we moved over to Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach, where I gave such a good VO. Tim thought it was part of the presentation. I was very proud of that. Very proud of that. Again, Five Nights at Freddy's. Cool. Never been my jam. I know Andy wants to play it real bad. But other than that,
no,
hey, dude. From there, it was Demon's Souls Remastered, which just looks fucking beautiful.
Man.
Yeah.
What a treat.
Bluepoint is too talented.
Some weird stuff here, though. So obviously, we heard that this, after the fact, is launching on PS5 when it launches on November 12th. But in the trailer that is released after the fact, it now says it will also be available on PC and other consoles after a limited time.
Where are you seeing that?
Really?
And then they took the trailer down.
That's the thing. The trailer that they ran during the stream made waves because it said something about PC in it, which is, you know, not how the Spider-Man one ends, where it's like exclusive, because it's exclusive to PlayStation. They put an asterisk on Spider-Man and we're like, Miles, it's the argument between PlayStation and PlayStation 4, or PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4. And then for this one, they specifically said PC, and now that trailer has been taken down as if they're maybe editing that out. So we'll have to wait to see what Demon's Souls mean for that. But as we have confirmed live on this show, as we've been recording it, Jeff Keighley says it's a launch title. It's a launch title.
Yeah.
Then. Sorry, go ahead.
I just wanted to shout that out one more time, because I the more and more we've progressed through this podcast, the more and more information that we've gotten during this podcast that wasn't in the actual showcase, I feel like that needs to be called out, because in terms of being a hype showcase, it was great. Like, it was a great paced thing. It had great games and a lot of stuff, but like, that's egregious, the amount of information that wasn't there.
And it's good info.
Due to time constraints, guys. Due to time constraints, they couldn't do it. But like, they didn't have enough time.
Demon
Souls is a launch title. Like, when did they make that decision? Like, when the trailer ends, put it right there.
It's a Ubisoft joke.
On one hand, it feels like misinformation, but it's good information. And so, like, it doesn't make sense.
A launch title. What the fuck?
Like, if it was bad info, I would have been like, okay, this is bullshit. But this is like good info. And so, like, what are you doing with your showcase that this isn't there?
Bewildering. Word of the day.
Fortnite then got its own little thing. It's a PS5 at launch, which we knew. This trailer, however, since then, Fortnite, I believe I saw Donald Muster quote tweeted that was all in-game footage from the PlayStation 5 version. I knew just the Fortnite noises on a black screen that I was able
to. Yeah, that was really cool. I was very shocked that your ears are that good. They were called the Fortnite car sound.
Greg and Ninja are two peas in a pod, you know.
It's true, you know what I mean? We both have blue hair. Then we again got to the PlayStation Plus collection, which again, new benefit for PlayStation 5, God of War, Bloodborne, Monster Hunter, Fallout 4, Final Fantasy 15, Mortal Kombat 10, Uncharted 4, Ratchet and Clank, Days Gone, Until Dawn, Detroit, Battlefield 1, Infamous Second Son, Batman Arkham Knight, The Last Guardian, The Last of Us Remastered, Persona 5, Resident Evil 7, PlayStation 4 games that will be available for download at launch, just for being a PlayStation Plus member when you get your PlayStation 5, at least at launch of PlayStation 5. Again, an interesting thing where it's a nice benefit. Yeah, it should get you to get PlayStation Plus when you get your PlayStation 5 if you didn't already have it. Or again, to say, hey, we already have a PlayStation Plus, or I should get it right now and get into it. Obviously, a smattering of great games, but this weird one that does this turn heads for people? Because again, I feel like if you're buying a PlayStation at launch, PlayStation 5 at launch, you're probably a hardcore gamer. I imagine you've already played most of these. Now, granted, I'm sure there's plenty of people who are making the jump from Xbox and haven't played these. And why not just download them and have them ready to go? But again, I don't think it stacks up to... It's a different direction than what they're doing with Game Pass. And so
go ahead, Andy.
I just don't think it needs to turn heads, though. I feel like it's still just such a little small bonus thing that they didn't have to do. This isn't something that... Like that we've heard rumors about, oh, there's going to be a PlayStation Plus thing. This is going to be cool. And then this came out and we're like, oh, totally. We're kind of let down by this. Like, this is just a really cool bonus that is, I don't know, it's awesome. Like, I don't really see where the controversy would be, because this isn't anything that they've sort of overpromised that would be bigger than it was. I don't think it's controversy at all.
I'm not trying to say it's a controversial thing at all. I'm just saying that it's definitely a cool thing. Yes, pay it forward and give people more games. But it is that thing of like, are people fucking super stoked for this? Like, Andy, are you going to get some of these games? Are you going to download some of these games when they come out? Oh, Tim's got to say. Go ahead.
Cam75 in the chat says something amazing here. This is to give people the most popular games that they own physical and then bought a digital console that they can't access the library to.
Well, that's going to be my point too. Like, it feels almost like a make good in that sense of like, hey, you know, backwards compatibility is a thing. And like, we want to push people to digital. And so here are the games you already own, but digitally. And so you feel comfortable making that jump.
And my thing too is like, it's weird where Sony doesn't need to beat Xbox in every single place. I think that we're comparing it to Game Pass, it's just like, this is some of the best games of all time. Some of them, when we're talking about Last of Us Remastered, we're talking about God of War. It's like, these are fantastic.
Detroit
titles.
Become Human.
But like, I think about Nintendo Switch Online, and a lot of people, you know, complain that it doesn't have everything, and it doesn't. It has a lot of faults, and the same way this does. But for very little price, you are getting so many NES games, so many SNES games. They're not making us buy them again. This is a perfect thing here. They're not making us buy this stuff again.
Honestly, I think that's the perfect comparison. Like, this does feel like NES Online to me. But like, if NES was, if it was more so like, here are the best Wii games, or here are the best, like, I don't want to compare it to the best Wii games, because I think these games are better than the, actually, I'm not in the mind space right now to make that statement.
No, you are. These are better than the best Wii games.
I'm not about to like, here and be like,
Bloodborne is in here, man.
Bloodborne compared to Brawl, compared to Galaxy 2. It's a whole conversation. But yeah, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm super down on this, because I wanted this to be something bigger. Like, there haven't been like rumors, and they weren't promising anything for sure. But I think I personally have had the speculation. I know multiple of us have had the speculation of, all right, what do they do with PlayStation Plus? What does that become with next gen? Do they revamp it? Do they, do something with online? Do they combine PS Now with that? And like, part of me looks at this, and part of me is, I think when I first see this, I'm like, all right, I feel like other people own these games, or have played these games, or have these games through PS Plus already, or could just get PS Now. And I'm sure some of these games are on PS Now. Like, I feel like there are so many other options for what this is that it isn't as exciting, but the fact that it's there is still cool. Like, it's,
yeah, 100%.
I can't necessarily knock this for existing, because this is going to be cool for so many people that just want to own these games.
And I do think that, yes, even though they're saying right now that these are old PS4 games only, right? Like, I could see Sony changing up this whole thing and adding stuff to it later and changing stuff. Like, I don't see this as a concrete thing right now, like set in stone. It's only going to be these titles. This is all you're going to get. Like, I totally see adding in the future. I totally see, you know, other weird titles, maybe, you know, some other third parties and stuff go in there. Like, yeah, I see this as an ever evolving thing.
But also, there's the big first party titles, Ghost of Tsushima, Last of Us Part Two. Like, I imagine that at some point they'll end up here there as well. And it's just like, then great. The entire PS4 first party collection for PlayStation Studios is all here. It just comes with you as a PlayStation owner. Like, that's awesome.
And then, of course, it was the news we'd been waiting the entire time for, right? The digital version of the PlayStation 5 will cost you $399. The one with the disc drive, $499. November 12th is the release date for US, Japan, Canada, Mexico, Australia, New Zealand, and South Korea. November 19th for the rest of the world. Of course, there's an asterisk that says availability in each country subject to local import regulations. PlayStation 5 release date for China is still under exploration and will be announced at a later date. So if you're one of our Chinese listeners, I'm sorry, you will have to wait to find out when your exploration phase is over and if you're getting there. Also, thank you for downloading the show in China. And then the one more thing was a incredibly small tease that was amazing, of course, God of War. It was Kratos saying the time grows near, the God of War symbol right icing over, and then you must prepare yourself as Ragnarok is coming, came up on screen. 2021.
Holy shit. I can't believe it. I can't believe they did it. And like, this is one of those things people are going to talk about forever of like, oh man, it was nothing. There's no gameplay. There's no anything. It's like, just like Metroid Prime 4. And granted, Metroid Prime 4 had, you know, bad development and delays and all that stuff. But at least I know Metroid Prime 4 is coming. At least we officially know it's on the books. We know we can look forward to it. We all knew God of War 2 is coming, but now we actually do. So we don't need to wait for it to be announced. It is like, cool, we are now counting down to when we're going to get the actual gameplay reveal. Herman Holst tweets out, God of War, do we have your attention? Which is just so fucking badass. But I'm going to propose something to you guys.
Oh!
What if this isn't God of War 2?
Oh. I like where you're going.
No, it's like a Miles Morales thing? You think that's how they got there? Interesting.
I like how you're thinking. I don't think that's the case, but
2021,
that would be fascinating. That would explain a little bit of like how quick that turnaround was.
I love this message from Give Me the Loot, which, you know, links to all of the times that Corey Barlog was tweeting out where the first letter of every tweet spelled out Ragnarok is coming back in April 2019. And I think that I remember hearing something about that, but we just didn't really know what the fuck it meant. Who knows? Maybe he's just talking about God of War. Cause it's interesting.
I got you, Greg. I got you. Didn't I? Tim,
you got me good there.
Do you think that pisses people off though? If they die around, like, they're like, well, not, this isn't two.
Yes. Yeah. No. I mean, not if it's as good. I mean, like Miles Morales, right? Like, That if it's if I'm getting a God of War Uncharted Lost Legacy size experience, fine, cool. 10 hours and it, I, spoilers here, everybody, for the end of God of War, going back to your house after you beat the story, right? Like, right. If it's us going in there and fucking fighting Thor, or if it's even just like the first battle with Thor or chasing Thor or something to that level, right? That then tease up what God of War 2 will be. If it's just this interstitial that's like, hey, it's 10 hours of you being Kratos again, and this is what queues up God of War, you know, at the end, like, you know, Thor bests you and takes Loki Atreus and shoots off into the thing, right? Like, cool. Like, I'm down for that. I'm I'd be 100%
well, I'm I'd be into it, but I'm more so speaking to the marketing of like them doing this at this conference. I think told everybody God of War 2, and if they come out like months from now and they're like, oh no, this isn't 2, this is God of War Ragnarok, this is an interstitial between 1 and 2, I guess that comes down to how they would message that, because I think that could be exciting, especially if it is like a, and now I'm my brain is going places and I'm gonna be totally wrong about this. There's no way they're doing places. this but like, what if it is, all right, God of War, we got God of War 1,
yeah,
or God of War 2018, I should say, right? We now get God of War Ragnarok, which is the follow-up to God of War 2018, and that then ties that knot. What if God of War 2 is then like, hey, we're going to a different mythology, and we're going to like whatever, like after,
hey, or Kratos wakes up and it's like all this sand blowing in and he's got the thing over his face like
Expelliarmus.
No, over his face like God damn it, Master Chief did in that Halo Infinite thing, that first time we ever saw it, right? And he walks into this town and like a donkey walks by and he takes it off and he's like, I'm looking for a man named Jesus of Nazareth, and it's fucking Kratos versus Jesus. Are you kidding me? There we go. That's the
yeah juice. I mean, it's been 3 years in between both Spider-Man games, yeah, and between what they're saying. God, I mean, well, I guess if Spider-Man comes out this year, then God of War, there'll be a bigger gap.
Here's a question I want to propose, and then we're going to do an ad read, all right? Pay some bills around here. But I want you all to stew on this while I read it. Do you think that if this is the case, hey, God of War isn't God of War 2, it's more like Spider-Man Miles Morales, which is more like Uncharted Lost Legacy. Do you think this then feeds into that quote from Sean Layden well after he was out? It was at a gamesindustry.biz thing where he was like, AAA game development needs to change because it's taking too long to get these games out to recoup the money. Do you think that would point to, hey, PlayStation's taking that to heart with their worldwide studios, and rather us get 25, 30 hour games from these people that take 4 years to make, we're going to get 10 hours every two years. Now I said sit on it, everybody. Shut up. I said sit on it, Tim.
Oh, I got a lot to say.
You better have something to say when we come back from this ad break. Now, here's the other question. Do I read the ads here? Do I read the ads now? Okay. Because I'm going to do it that way so this gets up quicker, right? That's the idea behind it. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to patreon.com/... Oh, man, it looks so small in my frame. Let me sit up. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames if you want to ask questions. We have some of those coming in hot and fresh out the kitchen. You can, of course, get the show ad-free over there. You can get the post-show we do each and every episode. But let's pay those bills right now with them, their sponsors. We're going to start with Upstart. During these economically turbulent times, everyone is looking for a way to feel more financially secure. So if you're still needlessly throwing money away at every month at high-interest credit card debt, it's time you checked out Upstart, the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Now is the time to find out how low your Upstart rate can be and help pay off your high interest credit card debt. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. You don't need a degree or a diploma to apply, though. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer a loan from $1,000 to $50,000 so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. The best part? If the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards, or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and maybe crocodiles, and get back to using your money the way you want to with Upstart. See why Upstart has a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/PS to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate takes only a few minutes. That's upstart.com/PS. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. Again, upstart.com/PS. Our next sponsor, ladies and gentlemen, it's Marvel's Avengers. Marvel's Avengers is an action-adventure game where a young Kamala Khan must reassemble the Avengers to stop AIM in a future where superheroes are outlawed. Combining an original cinematic story with single-player and cooperative gameplay, Marvel's Avengers delivers new heroes and new narratives on an ongoing basis for the definitive Avengers gaming experience. Assemble up to four players online, master abilities, customize a growing roster of heroes, and defend the Earth from escalating threats. Available now, embrace your powers. Visit playavengers.com for more info. All right, back to the show here, ladies and gentlemen. Do you think this is the new PlayStation? Tim, you were busting at the seams to say something. I had to throw an apple at you and say, knock it off, Johnny Appleseed. What do you got for me?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You did say that.
I'm just saying that personally, that is a future that I'd be very excited for. I don't think that it is likely. But I do think that back when Uncharted Lost Legacy happened, I was in the minority when it came to the conversation we had at the table. But I was saying I would have loved one of those every year, like different side stories with featuring different Uncharted characters, just going on fun adventures. And then just kind of, you know, iterating and adding mechanics as we go along. I don't think that necessarily works for every type of game, though. I think for something like Spider-Man, oh, man, I know we haven't played Miles Morales yet, but from everything that we're seeing, I'm like, I'd love a little bit of Spider-Man every year that gets me through. Looking at something like Last of Us Part 2, that's a very long single-player experience. And I think that that game needed to be as long as it was, right? Like the, what, 25, 30 hours that we're looking at there. I wouldn't have wanted to see that broken up, right? God of War, I don't know. That's one that I kind of go back and forth on, that I don't know that I necessarily need that to be 30, 35 hours. If I know we're going to get them at a faster clip, but
I think you speak to it of like, and I think this is something, you know, PlayStation has always done with their first parties, but we're seeing it more and more now, right? Is the idea of like, what story do you want to tell and where do you need? I think perhaps there is this internal thing of like, hey, we'd love shorter experience quicker. Like we think that would be a really great way to do it. But I think if you say that to Neil, and I'm saying this, if you say this to Neil on the lead up to Last of Us Part 2, they'd probably be like, we're Naughty Dog, no. And I think Sony would be okay with that. In the same way that I bet if they had said that to Sony Ben would have been like, no, we want to tell a thing overall here. I don't know if that's what's happening, but for this, just for right now, a theory wise, right? If it was like, hey, what if we turn this stuff faster? Maybe for Corey and team, it is like, oh, that'd actually help us out a lot of make a smaller God of War, base it around one battle or whatever you want to do it, one arc of this story, one act of this story, and come back to it later. In the same way, I think for Miles Morales, right? Like, even if we're not building to a Spider-Man 2, if I get more Spider-Man faster, if it feels more like what we expect from Spider-Man comics, which are, of course, individual issues, trade paperbacks, smaller experiences that all net together, I'd be down for it. It works for that property. Of course, wouldn't it work for every property?
Real quick before someone else goes, Patrick Klepek responded to my tweet about this and said, it's been in development for a while. They started pretty quickly, leading it to be, this is a full sequel, which isn't a surprise.
Well, of course, you know, Scoops has been wrong before, so let's not get ahead of ourselves. Blessing, when I proposed this, you said, I got a lot to say on this.
I like the idea.
Move on. Next topic.
I had a tweet recently where I said that, like, I think the world would be a better place if every game could be 30% shorter, or every big game could be 30% shorter and by result cost $10 less. And like, I know that's like a perfect theorized world that I live in that isn't actually reality. But I think what we're talking about maybe crawls toward that a bit of like, yeah, what if we could play around with that range, that what is now the $50 to $70 range of pricing for big games, and yeah, have games come out quicker. Like, we're talking a lot about Uncharted Lost Legacy, and I guess you would probably feed in Infamous First Light with this too.
Yeah.
Along with Spider-Man, Miles Morales, and it theorized like what could be a God of War Ragnarok interstitial game. But we can even bring in Ghost of Tsushima Legends, which is still coming out this year, which is the most player Ghost of Tsushima, which is, of course, like it's serving as DLC for Ghost of Tsushima, but it is going to be its own experience, and it is Sucker Punch being weird and being like, yo, let's try out this thing and see what works. It feels almost like a combination of what we think of as old experimental PlayStation, or not even old, like let's say PS3 era experimental weird PlayStation mixed with the modern era of, hey, let's make hit after hit after hit PlayStation.
Yeah,
it almost feels like the baby of those two in terms of, let's give our developers the creative freedom that they want and give them the ability to experiment while at the same time doing work with the IP that we know that sells and we know that people love.
I think that's a beautiful thing. I think that could also be an indicator of what maybe the Naughty Dog Last of Us Part 2 multiplayer mode could end up being, right? Because that wasn't included in the game. They announced that, hey, no, we're making this as its own thing. You know, is that Last of Us? Is it not? Like, what does that look like? Does that allow you to then be experimental and have your own vision for your thing? Like, I think all that is beautiful and all that could serve to be almost the counterpoint of our conversation that we had a while ago on PSLW of, does PlayStation take enough risks? Because, like, I know we kind of landed on, like, yeah, what does risk mean? Like, what kind of risk are we talking about when we talk about risk? Is Ghost of Tsushima a risk because of the setting and all this different stuff? But in terms of, like, structuring a game and in terms of trying to define what makes a first-party catalog the best it can be, like, yeah, like, messing around with different scales and also allowing for more games to be produced, not necessarily having this four-year period between sequels. Like, all this seems like it benefits everything. And so I could see this being the future, and I'd be down with it.
Andy, I don't you like need it. To add to this? You don't like it?
There's a bunch of different sides to this, right? I think about employees being... I want the employees to be employed as long as possible, right? If it's going to be a 4 to 5 year game, you want that sort of stability, right? Depending on what you're going to move on, you know, if you have a next project down the pipeline or whatever. Sure. But there's still something really special about a big 25 to 30 hour chunky, you know, big story that is going to, you know, make you remember it for years to come. And I feel like God of War is that. And I feel if it's anything less, because we've already had it. That's the thing. Like, the fact that we've already had this long, epic God of War game, the fact that we've already had this long, epic Last of Us 2 game, anything less is going to feel like a lesser product to me. If it is less hours, I will feel... I still look at Lost Legacy as a side project. I still look at that as a side project. But first off, they can't be $70, right? Like, these if they are going to make them shorter experiences and still try to pay charge it at the $70 price, that is not going to work out, I don't think. Like, you can do it, but people are going to be pissed, you know? I don't know. It's weird.
I'm speaking more so to variance, because, like, the way I have it in my head when we talk about what could be God of War Ragnarok leading into God of War 2 is like, all right, yeah, we got God of War 2018. That was $60 full price game. God of War Ragnarok, let's say compared to the 30 hours we got from God of War 2018, is going to be a 15 hour campaign. We're going to charge $50 for it instead of $70. And that'll then lead into, let's say, 2023 when we get, or 2024 maybe, when we get God of War 2, which goes back to, like, the full, all right, you'll get your full campaign, full price experience. Like, in my head, I'm thinking of it as like a back and forth kind of thing of, here's one, here's 1.5, here's two, here's 2.5. And that'll obviously, like, change from developer to developer in terms of how they want to do it. But
yeah, I guess you're right. I guess we have been proven wrong. I mean, well, we haven't played Miles Morales yet, but I the first time it was sort of debuted and the rumors were that it was a smaller title, it's going to be not a full-length campaign, you sort of start to get the feelings of, is this the side team working on it? What's going on with this title? Is this just sort of something to give you more runway for the next big title that you're coming out with? But Miles Morales looks like it's going to, you know, sort of be a lot more than what we thought it would be. So I don't know.
Let's pivot this question, obviously, based on what we've already covered. And then this thing from Scoops Klepik over there about it's been in production, let alone I was reminded in actually the YouTube comments I was just looking at on our video for our live reactions that Corey Barlock had already been on record saying the next one wouldn't take as long as this one or the first one. However, Kebabs writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can right now to still be part of the show, and says, do you think God of War is in 2021 because it'll also be available on PS4? Do you think, when do we see this end? If right now we're talking about Spider-Man Miles Morales, PS4, PS5, Horizon Forbidden West, PS4, PS5, is God of War in 2021, PS4, PS5?
No.
You think this is this the first big one, you think, that cuts it off?
Maybe not.
What about
not.
Bloodborne? Have we heard anything about Bloodborne yet?
I'm going to say it is. Also on PS4.
Yeah?
Same.
Yeah.
Because I think that's how you turn it around so quickly. Like, I think they already have the bones for it. Let's take those bones and make a new game that can probably run on PS4, but will take advantage of the PS5 through ray tracing and
all the ways that we know it can.
I just don't see them. Like, if this game's 2021, if it hits that, I don't see it happening until towards the end of the year. And I don't see them putting out a PS4 game towards the end of the year. I look at Horizon, and knowing it's on PS4 makes me think it's going to be earlier in the year. Now, all that could be incorrect hypothesis, and then it's all out the window and anything can happen. But I think that with the games that they already talked about, they would have said that in the PlayStation blog post that mentions Horizon.
I don't know if they would have, right? I honestly think, not to borrow Paris's conspiracy theory hat from earlier on, it might very well be, let's see how PlayStation 5 sales go this first year. And if they, because I mean, not that it's easy, there's not a port button, obviously, but if it is something as simple as, you're working off the architecture of what already was the PlayStation 4 and you're not there, you can withhold that information. And then when you get closer, it'd be like, all right, and closer being, 9 months out or whatever, be like, maybe we make a PlayStation 4 version because there are so many in the wild. I'd like to believe there won't be, because I do at some point, and I say all this based on what has always been true before. And I think as, we've looked at the way Xbox has changed their console life cycles into an ecosystem, and you see even what PlayStation's doing here, I'm speaking in an antiquated way that I don't know if it holds up anymore, but I'm always ready when I get the new console for the games to catch up to it, right? And just be on that. So they're the best experience on the newest box. But if that isn't a holdback, as we'll see with Horizon, right, as we'll see with everything that's going on with Xbox being able to be played on Xbox One still, maybe that's not the case. I don't know. But I would want to hold that hope that, yes, God of War is only on PlayStation 5, because then it'll be the best version of it. It'll be using the most bells and whistles. Like, I'm going to be fascinated when we get Miles Morales to see what it looks like on PlayStation 5 and what it looks like on PlayStation 4 and what the load times are and all the comparisons there.
Yeah, I could definitely just see this as a higher res version of what, especially with how early they started working on it. Like, I don't know when they finalized how the SSD works with the PS5 and how they can properly take full advantage of it. And yeah. I just got to assume that they, started working on this sort of as soon as God of War 1 was done. And similar to kind of, I think how we all felt about Breath of the Wild 2 getting announced, like, oh yeah, they're going to use the same sort of structure and same, like Blessing said, the bones of Breath of the Wild 1 and make a sequel from there. A lot of the assets are made, a lot of the world is made. How do we, what else are they going to add to it?
Yeah, we'll see. I got another question here. This one's from Evan M. Hey, PS, I love you, XOXO crew. I'll be straight to the point. Did PS5 just win the all digital edition only? Did PlayStation 5 just win, period, sorry, with the all-digital edition only $100 more than the Series S? For $100 more, you get 2x GPU power, 2x faster SSD, double RAM, 2x RAM bandwidth, 8K resolution, more storage.
Look.
ALC tosses in there better games, but we're going to toss that out because that's obviously
not. Yes, PS5 just won, but guess what? So did Xbox. There are now multiple games being played. And I think that Nintendo, Xbox, and PlayStation for the first time ever are winning in each of their lanes. I think that it's silly to compare them. They're different things, doing very different things, putting out different types of games and different types of services. This one for PlayStation fans.
I don't think the digital edition of the Xbox Series S is looking to even try to compete with what the PS5 digital edition is. I think it's a totally different machine. It is supposed to be a sort of smaller, less powerful. Not everybody has 4K TVs. Not everybody even has the tech to sort of go along with these bigger, more powerful machines. I agree with Tim. They are different audiences. So I don't think that either of them won. I think they're just all, everybody gets a little pat on the back from me, Greg.
Oh, wow. That was nice of you. A nice participation award. This is what's wrong with your generation. You know what I mean?
Whoa. Wait, aren't we in the same generation?
I don't want to air about it.
Did you guys see this tweet from Aaron Greenberg, by the way?
Yes, yeah. I was about to bring that up, right? Yeah, that Aaron Greenberg did a quote tweet of the Xbox News Reddit. And Xbox News Reddit, Aaron Greenberg's quote tweet is the eyes. The text is, confirmed, and this is not Aaron Greenberg, this is the Xbox News Reddit account here. Confirmed, Xbox is now the console with the most games confirmed to be next-gen only console exclusives. And the list read, As Dust Falls, Avowed, Everwild, Fable, Forza Motorsport, The Gunk, The Medium, I can't believe there are two games I just read. Phantasy Star Online 2, New Genesis, Scorn, Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2, Stalker 2, State of Decay 3, Warhammer 40,000, Darktide.
It's ridiculous, man. Marketing is a bitch and a half. So silly, so stupid. I don't understand how PlayStation could have possibly bungled it this bad for a bunch of words that at the end of the day don't matter at all.
I mean, Tim said it best. Marketing is a bitch and a half because, like, how's that possible? That, like, all the big first-party games got for PlayStation coming up now seem to be on PS4. But, like, the whole messaging we've had up to this point has been the opposite from both companies. And they've somehow flip-flopped in a way to where, yeah, it's the same thing. It's the same as it's always been. Cool.
Congrats, guys.
Man, good job. Maybe this is the time where we all learn our lesson. You know what I mean? Just don't believe them as far as you can throw them. Kind of me with smart delivery. Brandon writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, and this is an interesting topic of discussion. Do games being cross-gen mean that next generation hasn't officially started? If so, when does next generation actually start? Tim Geddes.
It started. This is what next gen is. Yep. Kevin, what's next gen about?
Convenience.
Thank you. It's about convenience. And that's what we're getting here. It's the convenience to play the games that you love in the best way for you. Whether that means cheap and via the cloud, whether that means with all the rays traced at once.
Are we about to transition to an ad read? What's going on right now?
Speaking of convenience, let me tell you about DoorDash.
I've just been saying this like countless times on Games Daily and other shows. It's like next gen is totally about convenience. And I think that when we look at the games coming out now, it is continuing the trend of what the big guys have been doing on the Microsoft and Sony side. Like, forget Microsoft right now. Just talking about Sony. They have delivered every single thing I could possibly want from a PlayStation 5 over the last year for this. Any title, any sequel that we wanted announced, they've done it. Like, if we were to look back to our prediction topics a year and a half ago about what we wanted to see from the PlayStation 5 reveal event, if we would have go back in the past and tell you, hey, man, God of War 2, Horizon 2, Spider-Man, or like whatever, the twos, let's take them away. It doesn't matter. There's a new Ratchet and Clank, Gran Turismo, all this. It's like everyone is here. This is like the Smash Bros. Character roster, but for the PlayStation Studios lineup. Like, and Demon's Souls, all of that stuff. We're getting all of that seemingly in the first year. Like, that is utterly insane. If that's not next gen, like, I don't really know what possibly can be.
It's a great point.
Convenience.
Kevin sounds like he's in a cult. Like, and Tim just got him. Kevin's still in that part where he's not bought into the cult. Tim's still like grooming him to be in the cult. Yeah. Final question I want to do here comes from Tom. Oh, right, then I'll let everybody get some rest.
Hold on. Demon's Souls not coming to PC. Closing slide was a mistake. Mm. Says
this?
It comes from Kotaku, but Nibelian tweeted
a good thing together. The final comment before I just want to, if they all pass it around, so if you have anything else burning you want to say, comes from Tom. Tom says, not a question, but bless, I'm the biggest Oddworld fan. Haha. So there you go. Tom is one of those people you didn't know about, blessing, that really likes Oddworld.
Now, he's excited. What's his name, Todd?
Tom.
Tom. Tom, I'm going to need you to stand up, go to your bathroom, look in the mirror, and ask yourself, do I really exist?
Oh my god. Boys, any final thoughts on the PlayStation 5 reveal showcase?
I can't wait, man. I want to get my pre-order in right now. Let's go.
Yeah. Demon's Souls, Spider-Man, it's so close, man.
Dude, Harry Potter, Final Fantasy 16. It was a great showcase, and I'm really excited.
Assassin's Creed, Cyberpunk, Watch Dogs, all these games. Like, this launch is going to be insane.
What's next?
there it is, the real one. Come on now.
Yeah.
Avengers PS5 upgrade that I'm sure won't break everything. Worth pointing out right now in the chat, somebody said they just pre-ordered theirs from Game, and I have seen people with AU GameStops saying that they're able to get there. So it is starting internationally to go. I'm sure if you keep your eye on Twitter, you'll see it when everything else is going. Keep your eye to the ground, your ear to the ground. I don't know. I've been talking for like 19 hours in a row. Ladies and gentlemen, this is PSI Love You XOXO. Remember that each and every Tuesday, Blessing and I come together to nerd out about all things PlayStation. If you like that, there's good news. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to be part of the show, to squad up, to get your PSN name in. You can even watch us record the show a whole day early live each and every Monday afternoon. However, if you have no bucks tossed our way, it's no big deal. You, of course, can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can go to podcast services around the globe each and every Tuesday morn to get an episode. Of course, it doesn't have the post show. It does have ads, but it's still a dang good time. Shout out to, at one point I know we had something like 12,000 people watching us here live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Remember, if you are one of them, we are Kind of Funny Games, and every morning at 10 a.m we are live with Kind of Funny Games Daily on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Even if you're listening to this podcast later and you don't use Twitch at all, I bet you have that Amazon Prime subscription that you're about to use to get your PlayStation 5 pre-order. Why not head on over to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, link up your Twitch and Amazon accounts, and use that free sub you get through Prime Gaming to give us that 30-day sub. It helps us out quite a bit, and if you don't use it, you lose it, and Amazon laughs at you. Gentlemen, the next generation is here, whether you want to believe it or not. Thank you for taking this ride with me.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.